broadcasting from the WEEI studios, powered by Verizon. 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston. An Odyssey Sports Station.
This is Jones and Keefe
on WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app.
And take Boston Sports Original
everywhere you go.
One, one. Pitch is driven high and deep down the left field line. It is way back. It's at the wall. It is gone! Pinch hit. Three-run homer for Alex Bregman. In the friendly confines, it is 5-1 Red Sox.
High noon, Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. You can stream us anytime on the Odyssey app, as well as the iHeartRadio and TuneIn apps. A lot of ways to hear us talking about the Red Sox, Keefe. Up and down weekend.
Ended on a good note.
But it ended on the upswing. They were glass half full people.
Yeah, for sure.
On this show.
Started and real bad, though.
Half that game yesterday,
yeah,
it looked like disaster territory.
I meant the series started real bad.
No.
Even the game itself, right.
No. But I'm saying, 2.5 games in, you're looking at it like this is the Dodgers series from a year ago.
Right.
Where they hit the All-Star break in a decent spot. More on that in a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Comparing it to last season and this year prior even. But they felt like they were teetering. And then Abreu gives them life with a two-run shot. You have Alex Bregman hit the pinch hit, three-run homer. And I personally feel a lot different sitting here today than I did in the middle of that game where it was borderline panic in the streets. Starting by getting swept by the Cubs in the second half of the year, that wasn't going to fly. Losing 2 out of 3, not ideal.
No.
We can all acknowledge it, but they've still won 11 out of their last 13, 5 out of the 7 once they start stop cleaning up on Colorado and the Nationals. 5 out of 7 against playoff teams. Okay. That I could talk myself into, as opposed to getting swept by Chicago to start the second.
Well, and because the way it lined up, they take the All-Star break. Both Crochet and Bregman are like, we're going to rest up. We're not even going to play in the All-Star game. Like, we're so focused on the second half. Part of me did think, you couldn't have been any hotter. You take a week off, it might cool some things down, which it did. But also, coming out of the break, you're like, are these three guys starting this series? Like, that is who you want starting. Giolito and Bayo have been pitching great. And then, of course, Crochet. And so you were in jeopardy going into the 6th, 7th inning last night or yesterday afternoon. Like, oh, man, not only are they going to get swept, but it's not even like you threw them a Walker Buehler or you threw a Richard Fitz. It was like your three best guys. And then, thankfully, the bats and Willy Abreu and then Bregman, like, got going a little bit and you're able to beat a Cubs team, which is one of the best in baseball. But I also don't think the Red Sox are we've talked about this a lot, lose to the good teams, beat the bad teams. That wasn't what they were for the first, 90 games of the season. So, yeah, I went in hopeful that they were going to take 2 out of 3, knowing that the Cubs were solid and had good pitching. They also had their pitching lined up, and you were getting their guys, too. And that's a really good lineup, a couple of all-stars in there. But, them turning it around was a huge sigh of relief. You're like, you just lost the series, but the way things were going, and then Zach Wheeler tonight for the Phillies, you're like, this could get out of hand quick.
So that's exactly what you're doing. You're watching the game going, well, they're going to lose a Crochet start. Where he pitched, not like vintage Crochet. He wasn't mowing people down.
Good enough, though.
But he had only given up the one run. It's 1-0. The offense is dead. It's been dead all weekend. And tomorrow, which is now tonight, but sitting there yesterday watching the game, you're like, it's about to be Zach Wheeler against Walker Buehler, which I couldn't draw up a worse matchup on paper. And that's what was looming. And so they needed that victory yesterday. You don't want to call it a must win, but it was pretty close. Sitting there on July 20th, starting the second half of the year, based on how they've gone these last couple of seasons. So my question is, Keith, when it comes to the trade deadline and investing in the team and Craig Breslow making a big move, we can debate what that is. Some names certainly were more on board with than others. Did they do enough this weekend to stay in that buyer's mix?
Yeah, I think they have to. Like, I think so. Now, I also came into it being like they for sure should be buyers, and they have all the reason and ammunition to be able to buy. They have a good farm system. They have guys on the major league roster that other teams would want, clearly, but I think there's a way to buy without even sacrificing those guys. They also, in John Henry's you know, ledger. They have money to spend, right? Like, they're way under. They dumped all of Devers' contract.
That's a good point. Henry probably doesn't want to spend any more money,
obviously.
But I'm sure with dumping the Devers contract, he's a little more open to adding some payroll than he otherwise would have been.
It's a lot easier for Breslow to say, hey, if we add this player, this is how much it's going to cost the whole season compared to what it was. He probably got a gold star for getting rid of Devers and getting rid of his whole deal. So he has a little bit more leeway. But we knew coming out of the All-Star break there was going to be 12 games prior to the trade deadline, which is on Thursday, July 31st. Also happens to be an off day for the team. But what's their record going to be over that span? How are they going to still be a playoff team? Which they are. Even after losing 2 out of 3, they're still a playoff team as of right now. You have a tough schedule coming up. If you can kind of go, if you go 500 over the 12 games out of the break, 6-6, my guess is you're still either a playoff team or maybe a game back, depending on what like Seattle and Tampa Bay are doing. That screams bye. That's absolutely still a bye.
100%.
So, and I think even as they're losing some of these games, you got to ask yourself, all right, what does one big right-handed batter do for this lineup? Or what does one extra good starter do for this rotation? That's why you're in this situation that you are. Like, you're not the perfect team. Like, you do need help. They should go out and get it.
And, again, we've had calls about this the last few weeks. Other teams are going to get better. So if you're not improving, the teams around you are getting better, you're actually getting worse. I wouldn't wait for the reinforcements, although getting Bregman back, that was huge yesterday. I know he didn't return yesterday, but that was the biggest impact he's made in a game. So to me, that was monumental. And there's a ton of reasons to buy. If they go 6-6, as you said, 12 games out of the All-Star break, counting these first three against Chicago, they should definitely be buying. I would advise Breslow not to wait that long. Like, I would advise Breslow.
No, you're allowed to make trades now.
Get in there a little quicker. It'd be nice to have some reinforcements against the Dodgers this weekend. It'd be nice to get them mid-series against Philly if you want to do that. So I would advise them not waiting that long. There's an off day coming up, right? Thursday's an off day.
Yep.
So there's an off day to get in there and get something done. Twitch chat brought this up, Keith. I hate to go back to the Devers trade.
I know. We're past it.
I don't want to do it.
Yeah, but.
But since the Twitch chat brought it up, they struggled on offense over the weekend. Maybe if Devers were here, that would make a difference.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Just to read you these again. Devers still stuck on 2 homers, 10 RBIs. He's hitting 208. The Giants are 11-17 since the addition, averaging 3.5 runs a game.
11-17. They've played themselves out of the playoffs. They were a playoff team, and somewhat safely, too. Were they the second wild card team the day of the trade?
They were the number 2 wild card, which the Red Sox are now currently tied for.
Right.
With the Seattle Mariners. Giants are, let's see, after getting swept this weekend.
It's a real Freaky Friday situation.
It is. They are out of a playoff spot. Two and a half games behind the Padres for the final wild cards.
They're on a 5-game skid right now.
And the guy that you signed this offseason, who's better than Devers, by the way, just came through in a massive spot. And I would not underestimate just a moment like that for Bregman. We talked a lot going into the All-Star break, Keith. The Fenway Park was just electric when Rafaela hit the walk-off against Tampa on that Friday night. And it's a moment that you can highlight and pick out and go, all right, I remember that game. That may or may not, we'll see the significance down the line.
Right.
But that's one you can circle and go, that might have been a pivotal game. This is one of those two, and Bregman coming through in that moment, having a signature moment. He's had a good season. He's missed a chunk of time, obviously. He's had a really good season, but having a signature moment like that in a big spot, and I know they were already up, but it didn't feel safe at 2-1, especially with Crochet coming out of the game. Having a signature moment like that, I wouldn't write that off.
Yeah.
Or you can point to it and say, this guy's going to come through in a big spot. He did come through in a big spot with a pinch hit home run.
Did he talk his way in? Is that what they were saying?
Well, so
what's the back and forth on that? I feel like...
I guess I didn't realize that.
Because I think Cora was like, you're getting the day
down
off.
Today.
You're not playing at all today, no matter what.
We were talking about this earlier. Text line did say that. I missed that on the
broadcast. There was scuttlebutt on the broadcast. I don't know if it was confirmed afterwards, but they were like, this guy was told he wasn't going to play, had to be shut down. And you could see Cora even kind of like smile after. I mean, he had a home run. Obviously, he was happy about it. But it was just sort of like, this guy.
Said that he talked his way into the game.
Okay, so I didn't realize that. Now, I did hear Lou. I was listening to the broadcast because I heard Lou take off. He popped the top off there, Keith. Just the top layer.
Lou took his shirt off?
Well, he popped the
during the game?
He popped the top layer off. He took the sweater off. He's like, I got to get the offense
too
going.
Too hot.
Here. Yeah, he pulled, not the whole tarp.
Oh.
But just the top layer.
I mean, honestly, why not?
Yeah, he got him going.
That could be his thing.
Lou got the boys going.
Yeah.
So
topless Lou in the booth.
I did hear that.
Okay.
But I guess I missed the talking his way into the game discussion.
Yeah.
But whatever.
Either way.
I wouldn't even lean in on that to take credit away from Cora. I still give Cora credit for pinch hitting Bregman there. But if Bregman's talking his way in, this is what we're talking about.
Let's get stuff.
Devers refused to go on the field, for God's sakes.
Yeah, no,
this guy's talking his way into the game on down days. And I think there's significance to that when it comes to this whole referendum on the trade. There's significance to that.
Yeah. And like as part of the 10-game winning streak were the moments like the Rafaela home run and just sort of the as corny as it is, like the vibes being high kind of thing. And you were wondering if some of the wind was getting knocked out after a week off. You lose two back-to-back games. You have some miscues again where like some of the old Red Sox things are popping back up.
Yep.
And you're like, oh, no. Like, as good as that 10-game heater was, you're like, is this thing going to start to deteriorate a little bit? And then you get some good moments. You get some good kind of signature hang-your-hat-on-it moments. Some big at-bats by, obviously, Willier Abreu. Crochet, good enough. You also turn it over to the bullpen. The bullpen was nails again for him. Should I be buying in on Jordan Hicks a little bit? I like Jordan Hicks now. Jordan Hicks?
I actually thought you were going to say a different name. I think all his numbers are low leverage, but... That Alcala kid who came in at the end of the game.
Oh, yeah. You like him?
Well, I don't know. The numbers are good and he throws smoke, but they only use him in like a situation like this where they're either losing by a bunch or up by a bunch. They're not using him in high leverage situations, but he's got a 0.73 ERA. He's punching out a guy in an inning. He's throwing 100.
I don't want to jinx anything, and I know it's only been back-to-back scoreless outings for Jordan Hicks.
Yeah, you're buying in.
I kind of liked what I saw yesterday.
Okay,
I kind of liked it. You saw an absolute cheddar.
I didn't realize you were now a Jordan Hicks guy.
Hicks. They both suck.
Oh, we disagree.
Not yesterday, sir.
Apparently, Keith disagrees.
Not yesterday. You know, kindly, he was looking pretty good out there on the mound. Now, not the first guy.
Who would you rather have, Devers or Hicks?
Hicks.
Hicks?
Hicks. Devers isn't throwing you a scoreless inning yesterday, is he?
No.
I doubt it.
He's punching out every other at bat.
No. So anyway, just another arm. And, you know, we're also getting a lot of texts about, you know, if you do add a starter, somebody else goes to the bullpen.
Correct.
And, you know, somebody's texting about Tanner Houck. I wouldn't hold my breath on Tanner Houck, but you could factor him into the formula of guys in the bullpen.
Well, are they checking him out again?
What was it?
Didn't they send him back to the IL and check him out again?
I didn't really understand what was going on with those. I thought that was more of a paper transaction, but maybe they're actually, maybe he's had a setback and I'm unaware of it. Look, I'd buy in on Houck maybe factoring into the bullpen. I'm not factoring him into the rotation at all. And the Red Sox, I would hope to God, aren't thinking about that either way. He's a wild card and a bonus, not something to count on in the rotation or out of the bullpen down the stretch. I did like something Crochet said after the game yesterday. And again, not vintage Crochet, but I don't know that I fully agree with his point, but I like this being the mindset of the clubhouse. This was Crochet after the win in Chicago to avoid the sweep.
The rest of this month is always about the trade deadline, and between the win streak and games like today, you're confident our front office will help you guys out?
Yeah, we got to win for that to happen. So today, you know, it's just another step in the right direction. Just hope to keep stacking games, and you know, whatever happens is really out of our control. It's really just on us to give them every reason to be buyers, you know?
Okay. I do know what he means.
I
know what you mean, Garrett. Like, go out there, we got to keep winning games, and they drop the series, but you got to keep winning games, you got to stay in the mix, you got to stay in playoff position to invest in this team. And the reason for that, Keith, would be the last few years, three straight years. Credit to Justin Turpin.
Wow.
Turp, who I guess said this on the air, didn't tweet it anywhere. I kept seeing tweets that were giving him credit. Rob Bradford's story on WEEI was giving,
they're
like,
this.
Turp with the stat. I was looking on the internet. I'm like, where's the stat?
New feature, stat of the week.
Stat of the week from Terp.
You think Terp's got the stat of the week? It doesn't have to be from Terp. I'm just saying every week we have a stat of the week.
Stat of the week.
Hoss of the week.
I like it.
Stat of the week,
Hoss of the week. We tweet those
early out. Early nominee, stat of the week.
I thought you were going to say new idea, pure baseball with Terp.
We'll see how this goes. I'll see how the stat of the week goes. See if he even wins stat of the week. There's a full week for stats.
Early candidate for stat of the week is from Terp. Three straight years through 100 games, now 101 games for the Red Sox. But at that checkpoint, they've been 53-47 for three consecutive years. Now, Terps,
he updated
research
this.
Department, I was going to say, has updated these numbers.
Yeah, this is wild.
I would argue the Red Sox are in a better spot this year than they were, not just talent-wise, but just in the standings.
Vibes-wise.
Vibes-wise, for sure. They are currently in the final wild card spot. Terp said they're actually tied for the number two wild card spot, Terp, with a plus 52 run differential. A year ago, they were 2.5 games out of a wild card spot. Mm. Worst run differential, plus 33. 2023, they were 2 games out of a wild card spot, plus 41. So this is the best run differential they've had,
yeah.
And they're in playoff position. Despite the record being exactly the same, I would say some of those indicators are better for the Red Sox. Never mind their talent level, I think, is higher. Crochet,
right.
Bregman, the Roman Anthonys of the world, et cetera, et cetera.
Chapman's better than any closer you had.
Bingo. So I would say there's more reasons to trust this team than the past few years, Keith. Do you agree with that?
I do. I 100% agree. I think Garrett Crochet is probably the biggest reason for that. You know, there's not many guys in the league like him, right? I mean, you can count on one, maybe two hands total, like guys that you just feel that good about every time they get the ball. That's a big difference from previous years. Another one that shouldn't be ignored is sort of the state of the American League.
Yep. Well, that's factored into they're now in a wild card position versus not the last couple of years, but I agree with that.
No, 100%. But like, to answer, like, should you buy in on this team? Should you believe in this team? Yeah. It's sort of a separate argument, but like the Celtics are down, but the Eastern Conference is also down. So that becomes sort of an interesting equation, like how that's all going to play out. The American League doesn't have teams running away with it. Like the Baltimore Orioles, the last couple of years were a lot better. They are bad this year. So like you remove them from the conversation. The what is it, the whole Central? Or no, maybe it's the whatever. Like you're in a pretty good spot as far as that is concerned. There's not teams like breathing down your neck. Even when they were 2.5 back last year, for example, there were all these teams around you too.
Well,
like
it was just lots of teams to leapfrog and lots of teams.
Yeah, way more competitive.
Spot.
Way
yeah.
more competitive. So many different kind of outcomes, which I think for the stat based nerds like Breslow and some of the other guys in the front office, that's what they were looking at. They were looking at, you know, playoff odd percentages. And based on the teams around you, they were going to be a lot lower than they are this year. So the run differential is good. Garrett Crochet probably still the biggest reason. Throw in Alex Bregman, throw in Chapman, you know, no Roman Anthony or Marcelo Meyer from a year ago. All that stuff kind of going in the right direction. Sadon Rafaela, the kind of season he's having, toss that all into the mix. Add in the American League being down this year. And, yeah, that's why they should be. Hell, I thought they should have been a buyer last year and the year before.
Agreed.
So I triple think they should be a buyer this year.
You mentioned the playoff odds. Brad Foe wrote about this as well. It's increased from yesterday. They have a 49% chance of making the playoffs, 48.6, according to Fangraphs.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's a team worth investing in. And I do think this team is different. They have constantly dropped off in the month of August under Alex Cora. How do you combat that? You make an actual move and
don't have a disappointing deadline.
Right. The last time they made an actual move at the deadline, and there's a caveat to it because he wasn't healthy when they got him, Kyle Schwarber, who they happen to play tonight.
Yep.
Now a Philadelphia Philly. So maybe that's a nice
reminder. Closing in on, what, 60 home runs?
Yeah.
This guy.
That's a nice reminder that, you know, you add to your team, you'll be rewarded for that. 617-779-7937. That's your phone number. It's also the text line. We're being told, Keith, we have full approval for stat of the week. Dan Patrick already has the stat of the day, though.
Oh, all right, let's scrap it.
Well, what? Why?
Well, no, I don't want to steal an idea, so forget that.
He's day.
Yeah, I guess. It's close.
We're weak.
The same ballpark.
He's day. We're weak.
Yeah, I guess.
You think he does a Haas of the day?
He probably does.
If he's smart,
if Dan Patrick,
he's doing a Haas of the day. Dan Patrick all this time has been doing a Haas of the day. We didn't even know about it.
Right under our noses?
Damn it.
Yeah.
Dan Patrick. Right. So we just got Simpsons did it is what we just did.
We got Simpsons did it. Did he do Terp stat for his stat of the day?
Good boy.
Somebody go back and listen to all Dan Patrick.
I don't know what he did for his stat of the day.
He's like, Justin M. Turpin.
Maybe he hasn't named it yet. Maybe we beat him to at least our stat of the day.
And I'm curious like a cat as to what his stat of the day was.
All right. Well, oblivious. We are on this one. But I guess credit to Dan Patrick. You beat us to it. 617-779-7937. That's your phone number. I will mix in a few Celtics thoughts later on this hour. But right after trending with Billy Lanny, let's get to the Red Sox. What is the biggest need? Because I think there's some question now about what their biggest need is entering the trade deadline. We'll do that next.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending is brought to you by Mario's Roofing. We won't soak you to keep you warm and dry. The Red Sox avoided the sweep with yesterday's 6-1 win over the Cubs in Chicago. Garrett Crochet earned his 11th victory of the season, going 6 innings, giving up just 1 run and striking out 5. Tonight, the Red Sox begin a three-game series against the Phillies in Philadelphia. First pitch is at 6:45. You can hear the call of the game with Will Fleming and Mike Monaco right here on 93.7 and across the Shaw's and Stomach at WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Walker Buehler will get the start for the Sox in the series opener against the Phillies' Zach Wheeler. Don't forget to tune into the MassMutual Red Sox pregame show with Joe Weil at 5:45. The Boston Celtics closed out their summer league schedule yesterday with a 101-80 win over the Atlanta Hawks. The Celtics' preseason schedule will begin on October 8th against the Grizzlies in Memphis. New England Patriots rookies reported to training camp on Saturday. Quarterback Drake May has reported to camp ahead of schedule. The rest of the Patriots roster will arrive at Gillette Stadium tomorrow, and the team will hold their first official training camp practice on Wednesday. And Scottie Scheffler is your winner at the Open Championship. Scheffler shot 3-under in the final round and finished the tournament 17-under. This is Scheffler's fourth major win. Homeowners choose Mario's Roofing because they're fair, honest, and provide quality services. Call Mario's Roofing today for a free estimate at 781-344-2420. I'm Billy Lanny. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.